The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Let's go back in our Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 104 and verse 3. And I want to talk tonight on how to live above the clouds. Now, watch it, if you will. Psalm 104 and verse 3 of the Bible says, He layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot. Now, when you think about a chariot, you think about something that is carrying something away. You think about something that's strong. You think about something that you could ride upon. And the Bible talks about who maketh the clouds His chariot. When you think about clouds, you think about something that's light, something that's floating. I don't know how many fly. I get to fly to different churches on a Monday and a Tuesday when I choose to maybe try and put a church in to fly out and to preach or overseas. When you're flying overseas, many times you'll spend 13 or 15 or 19 hours in flight, and you get to fly above the clouds. It's always neat when you take off and you're flying upward and you see what's about to take place, and then you just break the crest of those clouds and you rise above the clouds and you look out and it looks like it's just nothing but a bunch of white pillows that's laying out there on top of nothing. And it's very neat to be able to see that. And then you can imagine how you feel as you see the wonderment of God and His handiwork. Well, here's what the Bible says, who layeth His beams, it says, of the pillars, it says, of His pillars, chambers in the waters, and maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. And let's talk tonight about how to live above the clouds. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't always do. Many times in a preaching message, I'll use role play to bring something down to where we live. And many times I'll use an illustration to bring something down to where we live. And it might be with somebody holding an apple and somebody shooting an arrow. Well, not really, but at least leading up to that. Or we may use a rope to demonstrate how God is the one that needs to be able to put a rope around us and to pull us a certain direction, as was last Sunday night. And we may use all sorts of stuff to be able to bring across the truth. And so tonight, I'm just going to use some signs. I'll call up some young men to help me. I've only got 3 points, but I'm a little bit forgetful tonight, and I just don't know why. Maybe I'm tired and weary, and so if it's not a lively service, this thing just may go on forever, because I might forget where I am and forget that you're there, and so I just feel like an old man sitting in a rocking chair having to repeat myself. And so if you could say amen just a couple of times throughout the message to keep me awake, I would appreciate that. And we'll get out of here a whole lot quicker, because that'll get my adrenaline up, and then I'll be able to move quickly across these points. But if it's a quiet night tonight, we may go for a couple hours here, because I'll have to back up and reread it over and over again. So let me just talk with you a little bit tonight about these clouds. How is it that you live above the clouds? I'm going to give you 3 statements. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff underneath those 3 statements tonight, but let me help you just a little bit. Statement number one, there's the clouds of circumstances. The clouds of circumstances. And so, Marcus, you come help me. You're going to be up here the longest time, but you look like you're healthy, and so you can handle it right there. And so there's the clouds of circumstances. Now, what is the clouds of circumstances? The clouds of circumstances is those things that discourage you, those things that, if you would please, depress you. Now, I'm a realist. I say this often. I'm a realist with a very optimistic look on life. I understand that there is doubts and hardships, but I choose not to live there. I understand that there's things we need to overcome, that struggles in life, and I face them in reality, but I choose not to get depressed by them. I understand that we can't ignore our burdens, because burdens are real and circumstances are there, but we don't have to live underneath that. You can have joy tonight. You can have peace tonight. You can have hope tonight. You can have have a smile on your face tonight. You can have a song in your heart tonight. You can have a spring in your step tonight. You don't have to be somebody tonight that lives below the circumstances. God is still God, and God is still with you tonight, and God has not forsaken you tonight, and God's power is still real tonight. And so you don't have to be somebody that lives under the circumstances. Job was a man that faced many things in his life. He lost his oxen. He lost his donkeys. He lost all of his sheep. He lost all of his camels. He lost all of his servants, lost all of his sons, and lost all of his daughters. There was a day when he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he scraped his body. The Bible teaches as he scraped those boils off of his body to the point that the dogs came and licked his sores. His wife stood up and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His friends turned their back on him as they falsely accused him. But Job was a man that decided that he wasn't going to live under the circumstances. Matter of fact, in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, him speaking, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain," listen to what it says, "mine own ways before him." So he said, even though I'm going through all this devastation in my life, even though I'm facing all these storms in my life, I am choosing to live above the clouds. You think about Joseph tonight. Joseph faced many circumstances as we studied him on a Wednesday night. He had brothers that hated him. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold to the merchants as a souvenir, if you would please. He was taken into a foreign land. He was sold into slavery. He was lied about. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten as he was in prison. But yet at the end of his life, here's what he says in Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 20. He says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." What did he do? He chose to live above the clouds. You think about Paul tonight. Paul faced many circumstances in his life. The Bible says, listen to these verses as I read them to you, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods." Listen to it. "Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked, a night and a day in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside all those that are without, that which is cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, he faced all those things in his life. But yet, you'll see in Paul's life that he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." You see in Paul's life where he knew exactly what he spoke of, where he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, and though I'm learned, it, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." So in Paul's life, he knew how to live above the clouds. Now, what does that mean tonight? Well, in Psalm 2 and in verse 12, it talks about living above your circumstances, if you will, as you take the attitude, "Or blessed are they that have put their trust in him." How do you live above your circumstances? You put your trust in him. You put your trust in him. Many years ago, Lester Roloff was in jail, and they came to Lester Roloff, and they said, "Brother Roloff, how you doing?" And he said, "The Bible says, I'm doing fine." Now, what was he doing? He was not putting his trust in himself, but rather he was putting himself as in the hands of the Lord thy God. Now, how is it that you can live above the circumstances? The Bible says in Psalm 5 and in verse 11, "But let us in all things put their trust in to rejoice," it says, "and to shout joy, because," it says, "he defendeth them." And it says, "them that love his name," it says, "shall be joyful." Now, wait a minute. Over in Psalm 37 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Over in Psalm 56 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "What time am I afraid? I will trust in him." Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All right? So what do? When circumstances overcome us, we decide that we're not going to let them override us all the time. Now, by the way, there may be a day when you take a dip in your life. And by the way, has anybody in this room ever taken a dip? Have you ever had a time in your life, just one time, please. And by the way, don't stand up and tell about it. But have you ever had a dip in your life, just one time when you got discouraged, when you got down, when you felt like quitting, when you felt like giving up, when you felt like throwing in the towel, where you felt like walking off of the scene, where you felt like quitting God and quitting everything? Have you ever come to a place in your life, just one time, don't hold up the fingers tonight and let people know it was four times in my life, and somebody says it's five times in my life, and it's 10 times in my life, and oh yes, I faced it in my life, and it's 20 times in my life. No. But have you ever come to a place in your life where you found yourself being overtaken and you just did not know which way to go? If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? Now I want you to take a look around you. Keep your hand up. I want you to take a look around you, and these people have made it. Did you get what I said? They made it. They're here tonight. They're not out in the bar someplace. They're here tonight. They're not chasing loose skirts up and down the neighborhood tonight. They're here. They're not out there pumping up on drugs tonight. They're here. They're not in some psychiatric ward tonight. They're here. They're here, and boy, just the fact that you're here tonight is a testimony of that which is the mercy and the grace of God, and you've got the mercy tonight, and you've got the grace of God tonight, and that mercy and that grace can help you to overcome any complexities in your life. He is God. So I'm saying tonight, how do you live above the clouds? You live above the clouds by simply deciding that you're not going to be overtaken by your circumstances. Statement number two, there's the clouds of circumstances. Statement number two, there is the clouds of criticism. Come up here, Kenny, if you will. The clouds of criticism. Now, can I tell you that you have to be very careful as a Christian, because you will learn much Bible. If you stay at a church like this, you will learn much Bible. But if you're not careful, here's what you do. You will set yourself up to be God, or liken unto God. And then you start looking down your nose at somebody else that is not just like you are. But may I tell you, that's not the way God wants us to be. Now, thank God that you have all that you have and do all that you do. But may I tell you tonight, God wants us to be servants unto those that are not quite like you, to be able to help them grow, to be able to help them to be able to reach a higher plateau of Christianity in their life. Here's what the Bible teaches. Over in James chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." So he says, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to start criticizing a brother. He says, don't do it. That's a command. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He says, he that speaketh evil of his brethren and judgeth his brethren, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So here's what happens. When you set yourself up to be judge and jury, you have gone against the scriptures. The Bible teaches here that this criticism can cause you to put yourself in the very stead of God. May I say tonight that we ought to live above slander. We ought to live above malice. We ought to live above the whispering. We ought to live above the evil speaking. We ought to live above the surmising. We ought to live above the gossip. We ought to live above the hatred. We ought to take the higher road. Have dignity and have character and have statesmanship and have integrity in every word that we say. We ought to decide that if somebody's hurting, we run to them and not from them. We ought to decide if somebody is discouraged that we run to them and not from them. We don't gossip about them. We don't sow discord about them. We don't criticize them. We seek reconciliation. We seek peace. We seek edification. We speak keeping our tongues away from evil so that we can be able to help them. We're not here to tear down somebody else. We're here to build them up. We're here to point them towards Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, somebody that's always tearing somebody else down is always trying to lift themselves up. Did you know that? All right. Now, may I say tonight, as Christians, we're not supposed to do that. Why? Because God calls that sin. We are supposed not to pretend that we know more than somebody else or that we're at a more lofty state than somebody else. No, we're supposed to help somebody when they go into sin, help somebody when they go into a fault, help somebody when they're overtaken by a shortcoming, help somebody when they're overtaken by an error, help somebody when they're overtaken by weakness. My preferences doesn't matter. Your preferences doesn't matter. Politics doesn't matter. Procedures doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so what do we do? And understand tonight, I think it's a shame that some men have done this. We got men, believe it or not, you'll believe this, but we got men in fundamentalism that will pick up a pen and they will write about what they disagree that a pastor is doing in the local church. And may I say, what a pastor does in a local church is none of their business. You know, they're not supposed to try and hurt a local church. They're not supposed to try and hurt a work of God. And yet what do? They pick themselves up and they put them in a lofty state. Hey, we're supposed to love the brethren. Somebody criticizes you, love them. Treat them like a weaker brother. Treat them like a weaker sister. That's who they are. They've not matured yet. That's how come they're doing that. All right, so what do? You help them as a wounded soldier. You help them as somebody that has a loose tongue, that has not yielded themselves to the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God has complete control. They're allowing that which is the flesh to overtake them. So what do you do with somebody like that? You don't go down and play marbles in the dirt with them like they're playing. You be like a Nehemiah that says, I don't have time to mess with it. You stay at the work of God. You do what you're supposed to do. Psalm 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. It says, but that which is good, it says, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to use my lips. I'm supposed to not get caught up in a criticism or caught up in an unkind word or caught up in something that might hurt somebody or throw in the towel myself or run away. No, I'm supposed to rise above that. I'm supposed to grow above that. I'm supposed to stay above that. I'm supposed to pray above that. I'm supposed to focus above that. I'm supposed to teach and to learn and to think above that. I'm supposed to speak above that. Dr. Heil said this. He said, if I have enemies, please don't tell me. I have chosen to live above the clouds. If I have enemies, please don't tell me. You know why he had a policy like that? Because he didn't want to think ill of somebody. He wanted to be able to help them. He wanted to be able to reach out to them. May I say, there's always going to be those that are the gossipers. There's always going to be those that are the complainers. Always. You're always going to have the whisperers. You're always going to have those that are envious one against another. You're always going to have those that sow discord. You'll always have the critics. But tonight, may I say that you need to stay awake and not become one. Don't criticize your parents. Don't criticize your new youth pastor. Don't criticize. You say, but preacher, we're putting so much stuff, so much work into this youth revival. Hey, if one person gets saved, it's worth it. If one person surrenders to the will of God, it's worth it. But preacher, you think it's important. I think it's so important. I think you ought to be here every night and support your local church and support the preaching and support all that's going to go on. Hey, let these churches hear somebody say amen. Let these churches see somebody excited about the things of God. They're going to go back to some dead churches. Hey, let's decide if they're coming to the conference. Hey, you be the helper that you ought to be. I'm saying tonight about that criticism. I'm saying that we ought to take the higher road. Don't play in the dirt floor. Don't be one that catches or allows your hands to write things that they ought not to write, or to type or to text things that ought not to be done. Don't give somebody else ulcers. Don't steal somebody else's joy. Don't try and ruin somebody else's life. But you live blameless if you can, and harmless if you can, and walk circumspectly if you can, and abstain from the appearance of evil if you can, and maintain a good testimony if you can. If you would please, your place, don't join those that have a practice of debauchery. Don't be that one that defends them. Curtis Hudson said this. He said, as long as somebody is kicking me, that's what he said. That's what he said. I'm quoting. He says, as long as somebody's kicking me in the backside, I know I'm ahead of them. I remember the first time I was at Bible college, and I owned my own business. And so those of us that owned our own business, we could get out early. And so I'd sit in the back because that's the easiest way to get out. And so I'd sit in the back. And Dr. Hudson came to preach one week at our Bible school. And boys up there, he gave a challenge. The first time, he said, now look, he said, if you want to go soul winning with me, he said, you go to the college administrative building and you sign up. The first one that signs up can go. Well, at that time I had, I don't know how many guys, eight I think, that was working for me. We had the tip-top window washing business. And Joe Schrock and I were partners. And we owned that thing. And I was working, eight. By the time we got to the end of college, we had 15 guys that was working for us. And we was working them through college. And they were making very good money. But I remember those days, and him saying that. And so I decided that, I'd like to go soul winning with this Dr. Curtis Hudson. I've heard of him, Editor of Sword of the Lord, and I'd like to get to know him. And so I went down to the college administrative building, and I signed up on line one on Monday, which was that day. And so I signed up. And so I signed up on Tuesday, line one, Wednesday, line one, Thursday, line one, and Friday, line one. Well, come to find out that he was only taking the person soul winning with him that would sign up on line one. Because he figured that was the one that wanted to go to most. Well, I'd signed up on line one every day. And so that day I got to go soul winning with him. The next day my name was called from the pulpit and I got to go soul winning with him. The next day I got to go. But I never will forget the first day out. You know, here I am, I'm going with this great man of God, Editor of Sword of the Lord, and scared to death. But we got into a trailer, and there was a mom sitting there, and there was a teenager sitting there, and he focused on the mom. And I thought, he's going to lose the teenager. We can't let this teenager die and go to hell. He's going to lose the teenager. I've got to reach the teenager. And so I scooted over beside the teenager. Dr. Hudson was witnessing to the one in the chair. I'm on the couch beside the teenager. I started opening my New Testament. I started leading the person to Christ, and he looked at me like he was mad, and I thought, well, I don't know. You know, maybe he's not leading the person to Christ. He's mad because I'm getting one. He's not. I don't know. But we got done. We got out in the car. He said, did you come to go soul winning with me? I said, yes, sir. He said, do I know more than you? Am I older than you? Have I been around longer than you? And I thought, I'm in trouble. And he pointed his finger at me. He said, you listen here, boy. He said, if you're going to go soul winning with me, you're going to keep your mouth shut. Do you understand me? And I said, yes, sir. He said, if you can't do that, he said, you can find somebody else to go soul winning with. Do you understand me? Yes, sir. What are you going to do tomorrow? Nothing. He said, well, you will pray for me, won't you? I didn't know how to answer that. If I say yes, sir, and he don't want me to pray for him, I'm in trouble. I'm getting chewed out again. And I said, if you want me to, sir. And he said, I want you to, but don't pray out loud. Yes, sir. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying in the Bible, here's what we see. we see that God gives us different ones. And as he said, if you're out in the lead, if you're, look, the devil will, stay with me, the devil will do more attacking with somebody that is doing something than that which is somebody doing less or nothing. He will. He will. Because the more that God uses you to do it, boy, if he can knock you out of the saddle, if he could discourage you, if he could get you down, if he could turn your attitude just slightly, and you're a Sunday school teacher, just slightly, and you're somebody that is a leader, well, because if he can get you down, then you're not going to perform the task that you're supposed to perform, and there's a bunch of people under you that's going to wind up getting hurt. So what you have to do in your life is realize that God wants to use you. You have to realize that you're important to God. You have to realize as a young preacher, if somebody says something to you that discourages your heart, you've got to get over it. You've got to realize as a Sunday school teacher, if somebody says something to you that discourages you, get over it. Get over it. Don't lay there in the gutter. Don't pull that which is the dirt over top of you. Get over it. There's somebody tonight that's more important than you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're supposed to be the one that's pointing people to Christ and helping them, and if you're down, you can't do your job. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Says, why was I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah said, here's what I'm going to do. When criticism comes, here's what Nehemiah said. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep doing the work. I'm going to keep doing the work. So what do? Keep doing the work. Keep going out soul winning. Keep preaching. I said, keep preaching. Keep teaching a Sunday school class. You live by a schedule. You put Christ in the front and just keep walking. Just keep. Okay. If you skip church every time you don't feel like coming to church, you never be here. If you quit just because somebody hurt your feelings, you'll be quitting all the time. Well, me and my wife had a fuss and a fight, and so I'm leaving her. Well, you've already left her 110 other times. What about being somebody that lives above the criticism? By the way, just because somebody says something, stay with me now, just because somebody says something doesn't mean that they meant it the way they said it. But you don't understand, my husband said it and he meant it. Well, he said it, but he might regret it, but because of his pride, he'll never take it back. So what do you do with somebody like that? Forgive them. Understand they're human. Understand they haven't arrived to your plateau. Well, you don't understand. Somebody said something hurt my feelings. Take an aspirin, pray, obey God, and get over it. Welcome to adulthood. You are not going to live your life without somebody hurting your feelings. Yeah, you'll do it. Come on now. Here we go. Somebody hurt your feelings and, okay.
Somebody hurt my feelings and it just.
Okay, suck it for a while, but don't suck it the rest of the days of your life. See, here's what we understand tonight. We understand this, that we ought to live above the clouds when it comes to circumstances. Live above the clouds when it comes to criticism. Let me give you just one more, if I may, please. Okay, Anthony, come. Live above the clouds when it comes to carnality. Now, by the way, not everybody, can I tell you something? Not everybody that is in church tonight is completely spiritual. You know that we're all at different levels. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. He said, I had to give you milk because after all, you would have choked on the meat. Wait a minute. Verse 3, the Bible says, for ye are yet carnal. And it says, whereas there is among you envying. How do you know if somebody is carnal? How do you know if somebody's not spiritual? He gives a list here. He says, because there is among you. He says, here's how I know. He says, ye are yet carnal. He says, listen to what it says. For whereas there is among you envying. What is that? Well, you know, I wish I had what so-and-so had. Wish I could preach like so-and-so could preach. Well, I wish I could sing like so-and-so could sing. I wish I had a dress like that. Boy, he's got a tie that's my favorite. And he bought it. And there is no more. Envying. Strife. Strife. The Bible says to cast out a scorner, that's a critical person. Contention shall cease. Yea, they strife and reproach shall go out. All right, there's strife. Divisions. Somebody's trying to cause divisions, pitting one brother against another brother over an opinion. Divisions. He says, I am of Apollos. He says, He says, divisions. He says, are you not carnal? Walk as men. He said, that's what the lost people do. He says, so when you're doing stuff like that, that's like a lost person. Now here's what he says. He says, for why one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? He says, look, some said, you in it, watch this. So Dr. May did a wonderful job in pastoring this church. Wonderful job laying a foundation. But if you're not careful, here's what some would say, well, I am of Dr. May. And I am of Dr. Wells. Now, I'm not trying to be hurtful or hurt your feelings tonight, but you only have one pastor. Dr. May is perfectly content and happy pastoring the people God gave him. He does not want you. I love you in Jesus' name. Now, may I say tonight, we have to understand. So here's a person says, well, one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. All right, now wait a minute. Let's just get behind that which is your man of God, your program, your soul winning, and let's go forward and accomplish something for God. A house divided against itself cannot stand. As long as you're divided in your heart, you will never go forward to accomplish the will of God. Never. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so here's why people struggle, and here's why people, if you would please, go through the problems. It's because of the fact that there's that division. There's that dividing in their heart tonight. Now, may I say, don't dabble with stuff like that. There's the carnality that goes along with stuff like that. Hey, let's just be spiritual and go on for God. Wait a minute. So what happens when a person is practicing carnality? Well, they dabble in things that they should not dabble in. They dabble in worldly things instead of living above that. They listen to the rock music of the world that teaches them things about rebellion and teaches them things about wrong things, and they're supposed to be living above that. They're struggling with the dress of the world, and they're following the fashions and the trends of this world, and may I say, a Christian should live above that. They're hanging around the crowds of worldliness, and they're insisting that everybody listen to their worldly talk, and they take pictures that they, and you ever see kids that do the gang symbols? You know, and they have pictures and they do the gang symbols and stuff like that. Why does a Christian do that? Who in the world are you trying to align yourself with? If you're going to be Christian, be Christian. You ever see the boys and they walk around, they got their britches falling? Oh, that bothers me. Oh, and they're showing their underwear. Look, if they don't have enough character to pull their pants up, they'll never get a job. They're walking around and they got the sayings of the world. Hey, man, what's digging, baby? Hey, cool. Hey, leave it in the garbage dump. Let's decide to name that which is Christ tonight. Get that cool look. These guys, I tell you what, they got a tie. And by the way, this is to me, this is almost as bad as a guy letting his britches fall down, showing his underwear. They got that tie, and they have to pull it down, you know. And they're walking around. Hey, cool man. Man. and you look like you got a physical problem. Why can't we take it to the higher road? What's wrong with that? You know, there's people that are out there that are starving for this type of church. Man, I'm in houses. This dear couple is joining the church tonight. Here's what they said. We've been looking for a church like that. Man, when we walked in, we felt right at home. I'm saying, listen, there's a thousand more and more over and over again. People that says, I don't want to step in the church that reminds me of the world. I want to get in a church that reminds me of God. And I'm saying, this is a place where you can be reminded of God. Now, if that be true tonight, then let's stop playing around and being cardinal Christians. Get all the way in this thing. Get in this thing. Amen. You go to dead churches all over the Dallas Metroplex. Don't let Parkside Baptist Church roll over and die. Get in this thing. I was talking to a young guy. Jonathan put me in contact with him. Or put the young guy in contact with a young pastor. Took his daddy's church. Here's what he said on the phone. Here's what he said. He said, now, preacher, he said, I'm seeing all my friends that I looked up to, all of them, friends that were prominent pastors. He said, I'm seeing them compromise. Can I help you something? If we put, I'm not mad, I'm helping. Let me help you with your ignorance. If we put a screen out here, that doesn't mean we're going liberal. Let me help you with your ignorance. If we have a coffee shop for our college, that does not mean we're going liberal. Do you understand tonight what even liberal is? Can I help you to understand that liberal has to do with Bible doctrine? I mean, can I just help you a little bit? May I say tonight, please understand, there's carnality. Here, look, I want to check out your soul winning. By the way, let me take you soul winning. I want to check out your preaching. I want to check out your godly living. May I say tonight, we understand what this is talking about. Here's a person that's high-minded. They ought to be practicing holiness. Here's a person's holier-than-thou attitude. They ought to decide that they want to be that which is holier-than-thou and drop the attitude. Here's a person that has spiritual vanity instead of spiritual maturity. Here's people that lift up themselves rather than drawing closer to God. Here's people that decide that they want to not part from that which is the milk of the word in order to get the meat of the word. I'm saying that we need to go back and learn the basics. Let's go back and learn, if you will please, tonight, the basics of Bible truth, the basics of praying, the basics of soul winning, the basics of being a faithful tither, the basis of supporting your local church, the basis of loving the brethren, the basis of being spiritual, not childish. The basics of seeing that which is the pleasure of sin is only good for a season. Let's make that song our motto song where it says, I'm pressing on the upward ground. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm saying tonight that we ought to decide that we're individuals that press on. As we press on tonight, we thank God for the good facilities. But let's use them to become great facilities. Thank God for the good Christians, but let's encourage the Christians to become great Christians. Thank God for the good job, but let's do a better job. Thank God that we can go out and reach people, but let's do an extraordinary job, not just an ordinary job in reaching people. Let's decide that we'll grow up so that we can grow out. Let's decide that we'll move from that which is the milk to that which is the meat. Let's decide tonight that we'll drop the carnality and move to that which is righteousness and holiness and not a pretense, but be somebody that's a servant for God and walk on. Let's decide tonight that we will not give scorn, but we will allow God through the Holy Ghost of God to stir others through us. We will
won't quench him, but we'll quicken. We won't rebuke, but we will revive. We will wake up. We will grow up. We will step up. We'll have a foundation. We'll be consistent. We'll cause that which is right to go forward. We keep Christ at the front end. We're not going to be lazy. We're not going to take and have a passion that's dying, but rather we're going to go forward and accomplish something great for God.
Live above the clouds. Live above the clouds. We can live above the clouds tonight when it comes to circumstances. You don't have to let them overcome you. You can live above the clouds tonight when it comes to criticism. Let not it be heard once among you. You can live above the clouds tonight as you override that which is carnality, slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping. Let's decide tonight that we want to be a spiritual people that love God, that goes forward with a holiness about us, that God says, now I can work through you to my fullest capacity. Let's be a yielded people tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.